Wonderful. Thank you for that. Well, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning. And it's good to be here. And thank you for being faithful in your place. And it's good to have the Tingson family here. And they've been with us this week, really just trying to get established a little bit ahead of time. As you know, his family, Gary and Mindy and their kids, were able to establish a work in Port Macquarie. We've been supporting them in the past year. And they've established that already, and they're going to pass on that work. And so please pray for them about that as they've sort of sought the will of God and sought some direction. They're going to head back to the U.S. For the next couple of months. Just to report back to the supporting churches, some of the supporting churches. And then, Lord willing, after that, as they feel they've been led, they're going to be coming to our church and being part of our ministry here. And they're excited about all that God is doing here with some of the church planning activity and just some potential for future work. And so pray for them as they get reestablished back here in mid-January. But he'll be preaching for us tonight and speaking a little bit more about that and some of the burdens that God's put on his heart and just the opportunity that that we'll get to have to partner with them in the work that God has called them to. And so exciting days ahead, church, for us as a church. And I hope that, that again, you buy in this month. We're leading into also our ministry market and a time where we're recommitting and buying into serving the Lord. And if you notice in the lobby area in the back there, there's several of our ministries, all of them actually just displayed. And if you're interested in that, you can just click on one of the QR codes there, and all of that information will be available to you. If you'd like that as a physical copy, we'd love to give you one in your hand as well. And if there's any of those interested, then please let us know, and then we'd love to give you the information that you need in regard to that. But 2 Kings chapter 6, and you know, we read portions of scripture like this, and sometimes if we're not careful, we can imagine these stories to be made up. We can imagine these stories to be somewhat fantastical, and just like other stories that sometimes we read about, we can get a glimpse of what is happening in a portion of scripture like this. And imagine it to be just another made-up thing. But you recognize, I hope, that the authority of the Word of God this morning, and you recognize that in the Word of God is included in that, are just stories that are real about not just the things that we see, but the things that are hidden behind the curtain of the spiritual realm. And so often when you go through and you study through the Word of God, you start to begin to understand more and more, and especially if you're new to the faith, and there's some things you understand, but the more that you read the Bible, the more you understand there's more. There's other things that are not in the realm that we live in and not in the realm that we sometimes would just term as reality. And we get that. We get that we do have reality, that today, as you sit here this morning, you're not here virtually. I hope you're not anyway. That this isn't some sort of augmented reality that we're just sort of in. No, this is reality. It's this physical world, right? We're sitting here, and all the things that you heard and all of the things that we were able to also present, though, that's reality. The things that you're going through this week, that's reality. And we're not discounting that this morning. But what we start to understand when we get into the Word of God, and particularly stories like this, is that there's a greater reality at times that we can fool ourselves into thinking doesn't really exist. That we can sometimes think isn't as real as the reality that we know to be right now. But the Bible's very careful to sort of unveil that and let us peek into the area that is invisible to help us understand and hopefully help us see that those things are very real as well. And it's in this interesting passage here that we read about Elisha. And if you know a little bit about Elisha, he followed after Elijah. Elijah was perhaps the greatest prophet that the nation of Israel had known. And yet, Elisha's simple prayer was that if he was able to see Elijah depart, that God would give him a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And so you see Elisha then is also as someone who was the successor of Elijah, he's seeing some great things happen as well in the nation of Israel, that northern kingdom that was really in its history after the splitting of the dividing of the kingdom was generally ruled by evil kings. He was in a time that he found the government of the day was very much against the things that are of God. And yet, Elisha still ministered, and Elisha still was one who was an advocate for God. He was still one who saw some great things. And if you continue to read along right through to the different portions of Scripture here, right through to chapter 8 and so forth, you see some of the great works of Elisha. And yet what we find here is that he's suddenly surrounded by an enemy force, the Syrians. And the Syrians in that day was really a superpower of that area that Israel was in. And they had a mighty army, and suddenly they were surrounded by them in this particular place. And the reason why they were surrounded in the first place was Elisha had found himself in the crosshairs of the enemy. Somehow Elisha, in his foresight and in God giving him some understanding and some knowledge, was able to tell and able to even foretell the movements of the Syrian army. You know, the king of the day was the king Ben-Hadad, and Ben-Hadad was so frustrated in this situation that he found himself in, that he looked around and he got all of his men, all of his closer counsel, and he asked them, who's the spy? Who's the mole? Who's been telling the Israelites what we've been planning? And one of the counselors sheepishly said, it's none of us. It's actually, there's a prophet, his name is Elisha. He's the problem. All right, Elisha tells you the things that you've been saying in your bedchamber. So even those things that were supposed to be secret, God had revealed some things to Elisha. And so you would understand that Elisha was a man greatly used of God, a man that was entrusted with some things that were unseen. Some things that perhaps not everyone had full understanding about, and yet God, in just his choosing, God in his graciousness to the nation, gifted them a prophet named Elisha to go and even be a defense. And you know, I think about the reality of that. And you know, we live in a day where God hasn't left us with the vision perhaps that Elisha would have had, but God has given us still the life of faith. That we live in a time where the tension still very much is in our world, living with sight versus faith. You understand that the Bible tells us that we ought to live by faith, not by sight. But so much of sight affects how we perceive the world, doesn't it? You know, so much of what we see today, we sort of look at the condition of the church, and I'm talking about the general church. I'm talking about Christianity today. I'm talking about the societies that we live in that previously we would term as Christian nations, and we see the reversal of that. We see the world today in all of the struggles of families, and we see all of the attrition rate that has really become the normality of our day, and we could allow that to cause us to think certain things. We could allow that to sort of program us into thinking that, well, there's not much more we can do. And yet what we find in Scripture is that there's also always a layer that perhaps we're not mindful about. And you know, so often the things that we experience in this life are the things that adjust us. And you know, I heard about a story about a boy, and you know how kids are. They love to pretend, don't they? They love to make believe. You ever just watched a kid just out there and you're just trying to figure out what they're doing? And there was a kid, he loved baseball, and he had a baseball and a bat. And you know how when you're in the backyard, you're playing your backyard sport, you're just pretending you're always going to win the world championship, aren't you? Right, so this kid, he threw the ball up, and he's commentating, and little Johnny is about to hit the home run to win the World Series, and he swung and he missed. Then he goes, oh, okay, strike one. So he does it again, he tosses it up in the air, and he swings again, strike two, he missed it again. And finally, he tosses it up, he's thinking this is it, and he's commentating, and little Johnny, last pitch of the day, he swings as hard as he could, and he looks, and the ball's not there, the ball's on the ground. He says, oh, strike three. And then you know what he does? He goes, you know what? I'm the pitcher. And we've won the World Series. And sometimes we can sort of fool ourselves in our realities. And you know, if it were that simple in life, and yet so much of life, we really are confronted with things. We are confronted with the difficult. We can't just flip the script. We can't just ignore the realities that we're in. And so what do we do? What do we do when the reality is the reality? It's not just a fleeting dream. It's not just a nightmare that we wake up from. It's not just a script that we can just quickly flip. What do? And you know, so often it's in those moments that we've got to take comfort in the fact that whilst we have the reality that we're dealing with, there are greater realities we can look to. There is the spiritual realm that we must then allow for us to then see. And I think about the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verses 17 to 18, the Bible tells us, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, not only is it a tension between faith and sight that we deal with every day, there's also the tension of the things that are now versus the things that are eternal. That's a reality too. And that's a tension that we deal with every day. The Bible continues, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, what that tells us is that we do have an option of seeing things. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There's a time value that's given to the things that are seen, that are temporal, that are just for now. But there's a time value that are given to the things that are not seen, that are eternal, that lasts forever. And you know, so much of life is focused on the here and now and the immediate. And if we're not careful, we can get so used to the immediate, we forget that actually as God's people, those of us who've put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are greater realities at hand. There are greater resources at hand. There's a greater reason and there's a greater purpose and there's a greater hope as well. And what we find in the situation that we read about was a young man who in the moment was confronted with something. And let's remind ourselves, notice again, look at verse, let's go to verse 12. Let's get the context here. So the heart of the king of Syria was troubled, so he goes, and in verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And here's his plan to get back to Elisha. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. They at least knew where Elisha was, and said they're going to send a force there. And notice verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. You know, unknown to the young man who is about to discover this force, in the middle of the night, Ben-Hadad orders the troops from Syria to go and just sneak into Dothan. sneak into the area that they were in. And that's just an amazing feat, isn't it? That this great army can move so stealthily that they were unheard during the night. You know, I just think about the fact that, you know, there's some things that are afoot often that we just don't even realize. There's some things happening in our lives we don't even know. You know, we could wake up tomorrow morning and after a good night's rest and hear some news we would never have expected. Just things are always constantly moving without us even knowing. You understand? That's just the reality of life. There's just some things that are just so unknown and hidden to us in the moment. It doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It's just that we're unknown. It's not known to us right now. And then notice what happens. So he sends forth the horses and the chariots. And then in verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, and we don't know, the servant is unnamed here. Perhaps it was Gehazi. He was perhaps the most well-known of Elisha's servants. But this young man, he just goes about his day like he probably normally did. He probably got up, like most of us, and turned on the pot of coffee, right? He probably got the boiling going and probably got his beans in there. He got it all measured like some of you. You know, you weighed it and all of that. And he probably had that boiling in the on the stove there a little bit. And then he probably went out and, you know, he took a breath of the morning air. Just the scene he had always seen. But then maybe in the bleariness of his sleep dust, he rubbed his eyes and he looked. And then he looked again and there were people there. There was an army there. And suddenly, this was his reality. Suddenly, this had come about to confront him. And suddenly, there was a problem. And you know, sometimes life is that way. Sometimes you go to sleep at night and you just get up like you normally do. And you're just preparing like you normally prepare. You get your coffee made and you hit the shower. And then you're getting dressed like a normal day. You've got all of the day ahead that you've planned. And you've got all of the schedule ahead and all of the appointments. That's your reality. But who knows this, how quickly does reality for us change? It can change in a moment. It can change just like that. It can change in that without us knowing. It can change without us planning. It can change without us being prepared. And this servant was not prepared. This servant found himself suddenly confronted with this new reality. And then what we find is he is alarmed by it. Notice the words that he uses. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold. So he observed, he sees a host compass the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, said to Elisha, alas. You know that word alas is a word of alarm. It's a word of shock. He was shocked. It was alas. He said, this was unexpected. This was something that he couldn't even tell at night. He was sleeping so soundly. The day was just about to happen. The day was planned like he thought it would. That was what he thought his reality would be. But the reality was, there was an army. The reality was, things had changed all of a sudden. And there's a point here where he just is alarmed. You know, so often in our times when reality changes for us, when things happen all of a sudden, you know, so it's often when we just come to a point of alarm. You know, sometimes when life just becomes so mechanical and life just becomes so scheduled and we just get into the groove of things, sometimes we forget we're actually here. Sometimes we forget that we're living, we're just existing. And we're just going from day to day. You know what God has to do sometimes? Sometimes God has to get our attention. Sometimes God will reveal something that was always happening afoot, but now it's the time to show you. And for the servant, the reality of his life was quickly changed. Suddenly, this new reality had hit him. And God brings us to that sometimes. God brings us to that place where he has to untether our comfort from the reality we know to a new reality to help us see something else. To help us understand that we've got to be living, that we've got to get some sort of beating heart again. Because sometimes what we do is we just go through the regularities of life. And we could lose the urgency. We can lose the meaning. We can lose the purpose. We can lose the reality that life is fleeting us by. And we could just exist. We could just wake up on a Sunday morning and get ready for Sunday and go to life group, and we've got our Sunday best, and we're just arriving and we park in the same spot, and then we come to church and we sit there and we cross our arms, right? And we always sit there. And then we go and we finish after, you know, pastor preaches, I don't know how long. We're hoping the best, maybe 45, let's negotiate. And then the service is over. Probably the same sort of hymns play. And then we go and we have lunch. If we live on the south side, we're trying to figure out if we can try to make it back on the evening service. We brave the traffic. We'll come back probably Sunday night. And then, you know, pastor, we like Sunday nights. He definitely preaches shorter Sunday nights. Let me just advertise that. But. And then he goes through that whole thing, and then you go home, you go to bed. Then Monday morning, you hate Monday morning. It's Monday-itis, right? Oh, Monday. And you get going again, and you go through, and then Tuesday happens, and then Wednesday happens, and so on, and so on, and so on. And you just, endless loop. Endless loop. And what happens is we can get in a rut. What happens is we get into the normality of our routine. And sometimes what God has to do to remind us that actually there's some things you don't know and there's some things that need to get you going again is that he'll just bring something that'll alarm us. He'll just bring us something that will cause us a bit of trepidation. He'll just bring us something that will get us out of our comfort to help us see that there's not just this reality that might be overwhelming, but that there's a greater reality. You know, I think sometimes we've got to go into something to then find another thing. It reminds me of a story I heard about, and there was a young man, he was looking for a job, and he looked in the papers back then. This is an old, you know, everyone goes online on seek.com now, but he was looking in the paper, and there was an ad. It said the local zoo was looking for a gorilla. And so he thought, okay, that's odd. So he thought it was interesting, so he went to the zoo, and he said, hey, I saw an ad for a gorilla. How much does it pay? And they said, no, actually, we are looking for someone. We couldn't find a real gorilla, so we thought we'd advertise, but here's a suit. All you have to do is put on this suit and jump around and, you know, act up like a gorilla does, and people, you know, people throw peanuts at you, people throw, you know, different things at you, and then we'll pay you a handsome price. And so he did it. He said, I'll take it. I mean, he was desperate. He was a young man. It was a desperate situation. So he took it on. He put the gorilla suit on. And there he went, first day. He was acting up, beating his chest like gorillas do, walking on his, you know. And he was doing a great job, actually. And people were loving it. They were saying, look at this new gorilla. It's amazing. And so there he was. He was loving life. And finally, he got to the end of the week, and he just got super excited about his job. And there he just, that day particularly, there was a big crowd, and so the big crowd energized him. And he was jumping, and he jumped too high that he fell into the lion enclosure. And so he comes, he's in the lion enclosure, and he goes running, and he starts yelling out, help, help. And the lion comes up to him, roar, and goes, shh, you'll get us both fired. And you know, sometimes we've got to come into, I figured Paul didn't give us any dad jokes, so I would do it this morning. But sometimes we've got to come into a reality to come into a greater reality. Sometimes God has to force us to be confronted with the fleetingness of our reality to help us see that there's greater. Sometimes there's things that we just take for granted in this life. Sometimes there's things that we just think that we'll always have. And God has to sometimes get us to a place of confronting us with our reality because He's got something else to show us. And you know, too many times, I think as Christians, we can fall into the trap of just going through the motion of life, of just going through the what we perceive as our reality without fully grasping that there's greater. You know, there's several different characters in the Bible that went through that. Look at another one. Look at Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. And here was another character here, Balaam. And it's interesting, Balaam was actually someone that was a prophet who... Balaam was being stubborn. And notice a couple of verses here. Look at chapter 22, verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, his donkey, and his two servants were with him. So Balaam was riding his donkey, he was just on his way. Unknown to him, unseen to him, was the angel of the Lord who was trying to stop him. And verse 23, the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way. So the animal saw it and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. He got mad at the donkey. Now, how quickly, when things are going not our way, do we quickly fly into a fit of anger? Because what we're doing is we're just going with what we see. And so he goes into a fit of anger. He punishes this innocent animal that was carrying his weight. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall, got worse, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. You know, you ever stubbed your little toe? That's the worst, isn't it? And I'm not saying that you know, there's a meaning to that. It just means that you didn't look properly. But I'm just saying that sometimes the inconveniences of life are more than what we know. And so what happens continues. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And notice this, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. The animal spoke. Now, this is funny to me. She said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And you know, Balaam didn't just stand there. He spoke with the animal. Or I had a conversation with a donkey. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. He's like, listen, if the thing spoke to you, don't you think there's more? Like, yeah. Don't you think, well, there must be something different here. I wonder what accent a donkey has. I wonder what that. But we see that, you know, there's just some things that there's inconveniences. There's things that happen in our lives. And so much of what we do just based on sight. We just do based on the circumstance without ever recognizing that perhaps there's another realm here. I think about Simon Peter, and we won't turn there for sake of time, but Matthew 26, where Jesus is arrested, where Jesus is taken away, and what does Simon Peter do? Simon Peter, the foot and mouth disease man, right? Action man. He grabs his sword and he cuts off Malchus's ear. And Jesus rebukes him and he says, don't you know? That's just standing by are the legions of angels, the army of the Lord. Just if I asked for it, the angels would come and rescue me. And you understand that so much we react we just quickly fly into a fit of rage. We fly into a decision point without ever fully recognizing that perhaps there's other things at play. And let's continue to read. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. And so in verse 15, he discovers and he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do?" And so often that's our question, isn't it? When those things happen, what do? It's a valid question. It's not unreasonable for us to want to know how to go about it. But notice Elisha's response here in verse 16. He says, "Fear not." You know, so often our response to circumstances that are alarming is to panic, is to fear. And again, that's a human tendency, isn't it? But you know, those two words are powerful words. He said, "Fear not." You know, the angel said it too to those shepherds, "Fear not." So often God will say, "Fear not." And he answered, "Fear not." And there needed to be a shift from what he thought he saw to what was actually happening. He needed to go to that place of recognition that there are things that are invisible. And there needed to be a shift from the visible to the invisible. And he's saying here, "Fear not." And notice he clarifies why. "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And you know, you think about that servant. I'm guessing that it was just him and Elisha and perhaps a few others. And he's looking at that host of the army. He's looking at how outnumbered they were. And here's Elisha saying, "Hey, fear not. There's more of us than there are with them." Now, the man can count. I'm guessing he could count. And he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, so many times what we do in our lives is we look at our circumstance and we make an estimation of it based on what we know, based on what we in our limitations understand. And we try to make sense of it all, and no doubt the servant was trying to make sense of it. And what Elisha had to remind him of was there were greater things. That in fact, the actual reality, the greater reality was this, listen, the greater reality was this, that there were more with them than those that were against them. That the circumstance wasn't as desperate as they thought it would be. Actually, there's more. And the result of what Elisha had asked them to consider was supposed to be fear not. And our perspective of faith, that tension between faith and sight, and what we choose in that moment is so pivotal. What we choose to do with what we see versus what faith is actually going to be so pivotal to how then we move forward, to how then we need to approach a problem, to how then we're supposed to approach this newfound reality that we're in. You know, sometimes we're confronted with a failure. And sometimes we're confronted with the reality of our own limitation. And we look at how it is that we're supposed to go ahead with this project or go ahead with this pathway we're supposed to follow. And, you know, I just remember when, as a young man, where God called me to do a work for him, it was very clear that I was meant to follow him in the ministry. And yet, as I looked around, as I counted on one hand how it was, all of the problems, all of the issues, you know what I wasn't considering was the promises of God. I looked at all of the limits, and you know, I'm not saying that they weren't real. They were real. They were real limits. They were real failures. They were real deficiencies. And yet, what I did know was this, that I have a God who wants to work in my life. That I have a God who actually can see the end from the beginning. I have a God who actually, in all of my life, he had been around and he had been present, he had been working, and that he was my resource. And that He was my strength. And that actually in all of that time with the doubts and with the issues and with the weaknesses and with the limitations, that didn't cause God to no longer be powerful. No, it was just me recognizing with eyes of faith that that was as real too. You know, that's sometimes what we do. We're confronted with sight and it is real and it is right there. It is confronting us. But what we don't rehearse in our hearts and our minds is actually what also is real. You know, the things that come our way never ever, they never diminish who God actually is and what God is actually doing in our lives. It's just a decision point of whether we trust what we see more than we trust what we don't see. And sometimes we've just got to be told and reminded what is the greater reality. And I'm thankful for those who have gone down the path a little bit and they understand a little bit more of how it is that God operates and how it is that God has been faithful in their lives. And so often I would sit with those who are older and sit with those who've walked with God a little bit longer. And sometimes they have to tell me, hey, listen, fear not. I've been down this road before. And you know, God has shown me some things that I've seen. And some of you younger people here this morning need to just come about and just get around some of our older saints here who've walked the walk, who've been through. Some of you newly marrieds need to come around some of our older marrieds who they've just seen God do some things. And they can tell you, hey, listen, there's more to it. Actually, there's more for us than it is against us. And they've seen some things, and so they can see, and maybe there's some of you here, you've seen some things. And it's been a while since you've just testified and spoken about what it is that you know, what it is that you've seen in God, and there's just some need in our day to just speak up and just tell of what you've seen from God. And we've got to be trusting when we can't see ourselves. We've got to be trusting that God in His goodness, God in His ability to bring us across those that have seen some things for Him and have gone to great waters, have gone to great conflicts, have gone to great valleys. And they've come through it and they've seen the faithfulness of God and they've seen the army of the host come along and help them get the victory, help them be comforted, help them come to a place of conquering that very thing that you now see and fear. And I'm saying that there's got to be a shift from that visible to that invisible. But at the end, I love what Elisha does. Notice verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. It's amazing, actually, if you read the rest of the chapter, another two times, Elisha will pray this prayer. He'll pray, open their eyes. And the Lord, notice this, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And I love this, and he saw. You know what? The problem that he saw earlier, behold, alas, was matched with what God had revealed to him. What? And he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And you think about the comfort that would have brought, think about the confidence that would have brought that young man. But someone had to pray. Someone had to see because he couldn't see yet. And what happened was the invisible came to reality, and this greater reality was the thing that was able to help him overcome the overwhelming reality. And you know, so many times what we need is to see. Open our eyes. The prayer was, I pray thee, open his eyes. And the young man's perspective eventually was enlarged and he could see God's army surrounding them. You know, often when we're in the middle of a trial, when we're in the middle of a conflict, we're in the middle of testing, when we're in the middle of our new reality, we can sometimes neglect to pray for our eyes to be opened to understanding. You know, the prayers of those who see are so important. Listen, if you're a Christian here this morning, then you have the opportunity to live in a life of faith. You get to see things that others don't get to see. You get to see life from the lens of the scriptures. You get to see life from the lens of heaven. You get to see life from the lens of the unseen. That's what the Bible tells us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so much of what we do, we could actually decide not just based on what we see physically, but what we can see spiritually, what we can see with eyes of faith. And the prayers of those who see are important. When our eyes are opened, we've got to then train our focus or our gaze on the greater reality to really give us a complete picture. And for the Christian, that is the complete picture. For the Christian, the complete picture isn't just the thing that is confronting you right now. Actually, for the Christian, the greater reality completes the picture. That's the bigger picture. That's the complete. But before, we only saw a partial picture. But now we see it all. And I think about what David prayed in Psalm 102, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee." He's noticed this. He says, "Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily." He's saying, "Let me see you, God. Let me see you. Let me see your reality. Let me see your faithfulness. Let me see your mercy. Let me see your power. Let me see your strength." And he's saying, "When I pray, let me see." And David had the attitude of wanting to see God in times of trouble. And David prayed for faith. And David prayed when he was being affected by the realities of his life. And the greatest tool we can have if we want to see and if we want to open our eyes is for us to pray for some opening. Lord, help me see the way forward. Help me see in this situation how is it that we're supposed to have the victory here? How is it that we're supposed to overcome? How is it that we're supposed to respond now? What is the direction we're supposed to take? And you know, some might say that we're just asking for some clarity from the Lord. You know, so often we can get just so distracted and daunted by what's at hand, we forget that actually there's a greater reality that's just as real too. And the greater reality gives us the full picture. You know, a preacher said this: frequent prayers lessen daily cares. And for us, the way that God reveals the invisible really is just in the pages of Scripture. In Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know, so much of the invisible is actually revealed for us in the Word of God. It's a lens for us to see life. You know, I love watching those who are colorblind and, you know, those who just, they don't see color. Hey, Brother Dave, right? By the way, you're wearing a pink shirt this morning. No, I'm just joking. But I love those, you know, that now they have the technology, they have certain glasses that these people can put on. And I love watching those videos of when those who are colorblind, they get those glasses, very expensive, and they put it on, they see color for the first time. They see the vividness of God's creation. They see the reality that was always there. And listen, the Word of God is like that for us. When we have the Word of God, it helps us behold properly. When we have the Word of God, it helps us see the greater realities of our lives. And so often, though, we ignore the Word of God. So often we just think it's just an old dusty book that we just bring out maybe most Sundays. But actually, it should be our bread. It should be our daily bread. Actually, it should be our cleansing. Actually, we should be in its waters day in, day out. Actually, we're supposed to meditate. Actually, if we're going to have vision, the Bible tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know how we get proper vision? Is if we just keep coming back to the Word of God. And so often we don't have a grip of the reality we're in because we've misconstrued the greater reality, or we've just missed the opportunity for that to be understood in our lives. You know, one of the things that I'm trying to teach my kids is just to get into the book of Proverbs. Right? Proverbs is the book of wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is just how to live life from God's perspective. That's what wisdom is. And wisdom can be gleaned. The Bible tells us that if any lack wisdom, let him ask. And we're supposed to ask daily. We're supposed to ask. That should be one of our greatest prayer requests. And maybe you're going through something right now and you just need a greater perspective, then just get into the Word of God. Get into the pages. Get around those who've lived and who've seen things for God and have seen those times of struggle, those times where they couldn't understand, and yet God in his greatness helped them see it through. You know, we can come to a place of seeing the invisible. We can come to a place of greater faith. And you see, when we choose to look to God, then we can overcome even those obstacles that are our new realities. And we've got to come to a place of perhaps just praying for ourselves. Open my eyes, Lord. Maybe there's someone you know. Lord, open their eyes. Lord, help them see how they're supposed to go. Help them see. And you know, the truth is this: we live in this world, but we have a world that is surrounding this place. It's the spiritual warfare. But here's the good news, church. Here's another reality we need to focus on. We actually live in victory. That actually the spiritual forces in play, they're not defeated. But that's our very resource. That's our very strength. You know, I heard about a game. It was a university, and I don't know, I'm just on baseball right now, but it was a baseball game, and the University of Wisconsin was playing to claim the division title, and they weren't going very well. In fact, they were well behind, and by the sixth innings, pretty much the game was done, but they had to. It's just the rule. You just got to finish the game. But as that innings closed, there were pockets of cheers from the home crowd, from the corner, and then another one, and then suddenly there was an overwhelming cheer. They were losing. But what they didn't know was most of the crowd was listening on radios, and their professional baseball team was winning the World Series. And here's what happens in our lives. We're confronted with what we're struggling with right now, and we've just forgotten to listen to, actually, we're winning. Actually, we have a victory. We have our victory in Christ. Actually, we have the forces of heaven behind us, and actually we have great victory if we would just look to the world that is unseen. Faith and sight, that's the tension. And we need to come to the place of faith so that sight doesn't overwhelm. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we've had to open your word this morning. And Lord, through this simple story, this simple illustration, Lord, glean a great truth. Father, we live in this world. We live in this time. And Father, all of us here, we're confronted with realities every day that so easily redirect and so easily can sway us into alarm, into unrest, into fear. And yet, Lord, we're so comforted knowing that there is a greater reality, the world that is invisible, the world that is spiritual, and Lord, that's your realm, and Lord, you reign, and Lord, you are victorious, and Father, you've given us, Lord, the great resources of heaven to be able to help us through. Lord, help us to have a great perspective this morning. Help us, dear God, to just understand that whilst we have been confronted with this, that Father, Lord, we can look to you to strengthen us, look to you and the surrounding army that is more for us than those that are against us. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. And